We're at the National Science and Media Museum in Bradford. My name is Russell Todd. I'm at the Sporting Heritage Photography and Television Conference 2017, hosted by Sporting Heritage in association with the Animation Academy at Loughborough University. I've been talking about podcasts early and the potential value to the heritage sector. I'm practicing a little bit about what I preach, and I have the very great pleasure of the company of Essex, of Kieran and Justine. Hello.
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 What do people need to know about you?
I'm Justine Riley. I'm the director of Sporting Heritage, and we set up the organisation to try and help people get better access to sporting heritage, better research the collections, and better provide access to those collections. We do that through loads of different ways, through providing advice, guidance online, training, events, conferences such as this one, providing network opportunities. We have lots of different regional network activity going on at the moment, of which Essex we'll talk about in a moment. And we do a lot of advocacy work, so developing our partnerships with different organisations so that we can make sure we demonstrate the benefits and the relevance of sporting heritage across lots of different agendas. So, for example, education, sports participation. We also demonstrate why sporting heritage is important for sharing social, political, economic changes and history in the UK.
Hi, I'm Kieran Mitchell. I'm a student at Bradford Uni, and a few weeks ago got sent an email from the uni asking if people were interested in getting involved in this. And I like sports, so I thought it seemed like a good idea, so I came down here today with my camera not really knowing much about what was going to exactly happen, but it's been good. I had a good time doing it, so I'm glad I came.
I'm Essex Havard. I'm a consultant in museum education and specifically adult learning. I've volunteered to be the Wales coordinator for the Network for Sporting Heritage. To date, I've done nothing in Wales other than promote the network and communicate with the museums in Wales its existence and what it could do. And I've had some interest back from a number of museums in the idea of a sort of network meeting, which I'm hoping to talk with Russell about, maybe providing some training elements so there's a hook to hang the day on, so I can draw people in more if this is training on how to, for example, how to do podcasting.
I've really enjoyed today, Justine. It's been great, and it's been fascinating to hearing people's enthusiasm and their expertise in their different collections and institutions and organisations. Has it gone as well as you would have liked?
Oh, I think it really has. Obviously, the evaluation will tell the truth, because it's always really difficult to know whether people are as honest in their experiences with me, because I've organised it. For us, the reason we set up the event was because lots of the people who are our members or our affiliates or who work closely with us said that they wanted to know more about how these collections fit together. How is the relationship between sporting heritage, film, photography, television, how do they interplay? And how can they understand more about the research that's gone on around them, the case studies around them in terms of working with different types of community groups and the exhibitions around using those collections. So for us, if the event has fulfilled those expectations, people feel that they know more about that, that they're more in touch with other people that can help them do that work in the future, then yeah, definitely it's been successful. And I always sort of tie it by how many people are there at the end of the day. And for your podcast, there were the same talk, there were the same amount of people as there were at the start, so that always seems like, okay, it's been a successful day. Through Twitter and Facebook, people seem to be enjoying it, so I think we seem to have got a really good mix of speakers.
And I sense as well a real appetite to learn from each other as well. And I imagine not just allusions to, but sort of reference to, you know, small budgets and the difficulty in getting together. So the opportunity to come together to learn from, you know, in a physical face-to-face sort of sense, people are finding really invaluable.
I think so. I think we've always kind of said it's the power of the network, the power of those different organisations that can come together. And because sporting heritage overlaps so many different sectors, it isn't just museums, archives, it's sports clubs, it's governing bodies, it's community groups, it's loads and loads of different types of people all coming together to share information, share their skills, share their knowledge, and then take that back to wherever they go, which might just be in their practice, but it might be in partnerships that they build as well.
Yeah, and I think for me, speaking as a coordinator, I think it's valuable for all coordinators in sporting heritage to build links with people from exotic backgrounds, if I can put it that way. I mean, we've had a talk from a professor of animation. I thought that's fantastic. If you'd have said to me 6 months ago, we're going to get somebody from an animator to talk about sporting heritage, I would have questioned your sanity. What's that for? Like he said in his talk. But through his talk, I could see that the potential and the interest in that niche of animation for sporting heritage. It's amazing. I've made contact with a professor from Scotland. He wants to have a conversation. Don't know what about, but that's quite interesting. And it's nice to see a few familiar faces. It's only the second time I've come together with other members of sporting heritage. So it's great to talk. It's great to learn more about sporting heritage. Great to learn more about the benefits of being a member of what is a membership organisation. So we want to promote benefits of paying a subscription or membership fee to the organisation. So I'm in Wales, I'm hoping to do that, to build that case for becoming members and building a body of people who come together regularly to discuss common issues. And I'm sure that'll be the same across all other regions and nations in the UK.
It's really interesting you say, Essex, about the membership. We didn't used to have a membership body, but everybody kind of clamoured for it and said we desperately, desperately want to be part of an actual organisation. So we really want to keep it quite a low fee, but so that people still feel like they are actually a group of people.
Yeah, it's not about generating profit. It's just about getting some money and to do stuff with.
Absolutely, and then see how we can put that back out into the sector. And one of our kind of key goals over the next year and a half is to look at what additional membership benefits can we bring in. Is the economies of scale that we can look at? What are the things that do our network members need that we can provide for them?
So it's about learning early, maybe in a formal and informal sense, but Kieran, you're here as part of your studies.
Yeah.
What have you gleaned?
Really just interesting, like other people have said, to kind of see different viewpoints. Like, it's kind of Sporting Heritage is kind of like the base of it, and then there's like different types of, like I said, the animation, like the videos, the documentaries, things like that, the podcast as well. So it's kind of like interesting to see how it all lumps into one big thing. I filmed most of the stuff today. I left my camera running for a lot of it, and we interviewed some people. They managed to pounce on at lunchtime, so put that all together. I'm just going to send it to the Sporting Heritage and just see. Hopefully it should give kind of like a good overview of what the day's been about.
You know when you got the email and it said about Sporting Heritage, mm-hmm. Did you know what that was?
No, I'd not heard of the thing before, but I thought it sounded interesting, so I was like, yeah, I'm up for doing something like that.
I guess that's part of our remit, is to try and raise that awareness of this is what it is, this is why it's important, and people probably know it, but it's being able to articulate it and share that kind of enthusiasm for it.
One thing I've taken away from today is the sector, the professionals within the room are interested and committed, but they're still thinking from their own terms about stuff. What can we do? What can we generate? How can we fund what we want to generate? And what I'd like to see more of, like, sadly I can't stay for the second day, but I'd like to have explored more about the community engagement and the power of Sporting Heritage to engage community. And I think the first step for that is to go to communities and ask them what they want from you, rather than saying, we're going to do this and now engage with you to come and see it or come and work with us. The engagement side has got to be, you have to set the museum free, and it'll come back. You can't dictate how things go in a conference, but if I was here for the second day, I would have liked to have been the annoying person in the corner who banged on about this need to let go, the need to ask community, what do you want? And if they say, well, we don't want to learn about how you build footballs, but we do want to learn about this bloke from our village who played football for Wales or for Leeds or whoever, follow that pathway because that's relevant, and then you've got that engagement.
Oh, and the relevance agenda at the moment, making sure that what we do is relevant, is so crucial to museums generally, making sure that we're not just doing the same old stuff. Here we go, we've got a load of things, let's put them on display. Actually, why? Why do people want to come and see it? Why is it beneficial?
Yeah.
And how do we then also get it out to them? And I think Sporting Heritage has got a real, real role to play in that, because even if you're not interested in sport, you might be interested in the fashion of sport, you might be interested in women's rights, how that's changed and how sport has demonstrated those changes. And if we can help people understand that these collections tell that, what do you want to know more about? How can we help you learn more through these collections? And things like co-curation as well. How do we do that? How do we make, you know, there's lots of really, really good examples of that. We can help people through training and skills and online advice and guidance. And I think you're right. I think there's a real opportunity now to start saying to people, have you thought about doing it like this?
Yeah, I'm not a fan of the austerity agenda of the Westminster government, but one thing it has seemed to have done over the last 5-6 years is forced museums, charitable sector, forced them to work together for common benefit, which actually they should have been doing anyway in the first place, in my opinion. But that is a great thing to see. I've seen so many creative partnerships jumping up all over the UK. I'd like to see more of those happening, and I think that the content that museums can supply, the sporting heritage content, married with community development organisations who are there to support and develop perhaps the most deprived geographical areas and populations in the UK. It's a very, very powerful mix.
I agree.
So we've heard today, we've celebrated Wakefield's sporting manufacturing history, which I knew nothing about. We saw some pretty impressive moustaches with Michael Marnie from art history and sport, and even more packed agenda on the second day. So I'm looking really, really forward to it. Thank you for your time.
Brilliant.
Thank you.
Get in touch with the network, Sporting Heritage.